It's been a great blessing to be here, and I'm not gone yet. But I ain't no telling what the Lord's liable to do. I just can't tell. I can see the Lord working. I mean, you know evangelists like to say that because that. But I mean, I can tell you what I know the Lord's working on in here. I mean, I can tell you some things I know the Lord's working on. He's working on it. He's working on it. It's great to be with Brother L.L. and Sister Collins and here in this church. And I'll tell you what I do. I always go away from a meeting, wherever I'm at and wherever I go. I never go away and say, well, I could have preached good if they'd have backed me. That ain't got a thing in the world to do with my preaching. You tie yourself. If you ain't careful, you get like that old boy down in Oklahoma. You take $6,000. To me, that's a pile of money. But lots of folks, it ain't that much. I've got some friends that's got a lot of money, but they got it because they work for it, and they're too smart for me to get it from them, and I ain't trying to. And they know it. But this old boy had $6,000 in stock market. I mean, that's what money was more valuable than it is now. And you know, I could tell how his spirituality was by the way the stock market was. You hooked yourself on to something, and that's the way your spiritual life will be from now on. I've actually, children, had meetings where when the Spirit worked, I seen Sister Whipplesnozzle look over at the Throckmortons to see if they were shouting. And if they was, they did. You hook yourself on to something, and you cannot be spiritual. I'm not trying to tell a preacher, brother, anything. I'm going to tell you one thing. When you can't preach if the people don't back you, you ain't going to preach when God sends you where he did. That prophet said, they won't have it. They ain't going to hear you when you get there. Tell you what kind of revival you're going to have before you go. As hard-headed as flint rock. But I'll make your forehead hard against her so you can really have a button match. I'm going to tell you all one thing. I'm not a smart man. I'll soon be gone. You can think about it when I leave. We need more preachers in America that'll preach what God gives them regardless. And now listen, children, I'm not talking about fussing about something I believe that you don't believe. And I know Brother L.L. will understand me, but I've heard preachers that's supposed to be holiness preachers just grind on holiness till folks that just loved it were sick on it. Oh, I hope I don't say the wrong thing. Hope I don't say the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Tell us more.
Glory to God. I'll tell you what, if that choir had backed me, I could have really done good. You ought to be able to do good if the choir don't even grin. You ever see a mechanic? That's what I used to be, in a welder and a painter, a green light auto star operator, and a bunch of other stuff, contractor. I've done a lot of it. Worked 42 hours a week, went to school every day, and it's 14 years old. Folks need to work a little help now. Amen? You ever see a mechanic raise up from under the hood and say, if y'all back now, get this thing fixed. Well, just get in.
Yes, sir.
If your wife don't get in, boy, lead the way. Get in yourself.
Get in
Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I just love it here. I'd like to live here in Oklahoma, too, but I can't. I ain't looking for no church. I ain't seen a church. I never have seen a church I want to pastor. I ain't never seen one. I ain't never seen no church I want to pastor. I never seen a church I want to run for. Only thing I'm interested in is the will of God. You know what I'm saying? Why, sure, I've been in a lot of good, blessed churches, had good people, but I didn't want it. All I want is the will of God. So, hallelujah. I'm going to preach a little while to you. It's so good you come back out here. I've always wondered why people come to my meeting more than twice. Honest. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I never have been, and God in heaven knows I don't have the looks. Amen. That's right. You're a blessed bunch of people. We love you so. God bless you. We prayed for that poor woman today. Just think about that. Down yonder with cancer of the bone. Did you have one eye? Did you have a glass eye? One kidney already failed and bleeding, ulcers, you know. She said, oh, I'd like to come to meeting. She said, I have no time to roll me up here in that wheelchair. She said, get in that wheelchair. I know her husband didn't want to come, though. If he'd have had disease, he'd have had her here. It could be worse with you, boy, girl, man or woman. You believe God answers prayer? Now, you got some troubles here and some problems here, and I know about some of them. I'm taking them to the room with me, praying about it. And the Lord's going to help us. You believe He's going to help us? Amen. God's going to help us. I know during the Depression, when jobs couldn't be bought, I had a friend that fasted and prayed for God to give him a job, and he went and got in the line, 100 people in it. They was going to hire 2 or 3 over there to plant, and he got away. He was way down that line when he got there. That personnel man opened the door of that little room he had up there and looked down through there at that line of men and said, "You down there, you down there, you down there. No, not you, that other one behind you, back behind you." And finally, he had this friend of mine step out of line, hired him out of all that bus, never seen him in the world. Ralph Cook's son-in-law. Ralph Cook's son-in-law, so it worked. Well, you can tell the world about this. Tell them how the nations have been blessed. Tell them that Jesus has come. Tell them that the victory has been won. And it brought joy, peace, and happiness to my soul. Brought me out of the miry clay. Set my feet on the rock to stay. And you can tell the world, you can sing that over and over till you can't keep from shouting. You think Pentecost only one that shouts? I held a meeting in Stonewall, Oklahoma when I was a young man. That was a blessed meeting. That's where the car broke down and we had to walk 2 miles to church every night and build a fire in a wood stove and shake peanuts every day. You ever shake any peanuts? You just get down and get a hold of them and shake the dirt off the peanuts, and the peanuts comes off the vine and the dirt goes up your nose. I mean, it is some kind of job. That's what we done all day when we didn't have nothing to do, you know, all day. And preach at night. And the snow blowed through the cracks in the room we stayed in on the floor. Insulation, we'd just been glad the snow was kept out. We didn't have no insulation. Oh, the car broke down. I was holding a meeting over there, and there wasn't nothing but Baptist folks coming. They had been in there and held a meeting about 6 weeks before, and a bunch of folks got saved. And they told them they never could backslide. And they nearly all backslid when I got there. And we went to preaching, and they got criticized. Said, "What's that homeless preacher doing in this Baptist community?" Well, who owns a community? Who in the world can claim a community? And you know what happened before that meeting was over? Power of God went falling. And you know, there's something about God's power that all of us will like if we'll just lean over a little. I don't care if it's the deep jungles of Africa. They got the Holy Ghost down on them islands off of Panama the other day when our holiness preachers went down there. One of the chiefs got it, and them Kuna Indians. One of them was in my church a while back from out there. Did you know what? They don't talk English. They got the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. The power of God fell on them. They took pictures of them down there. Kuna Indians just fell. Well, the power of God, nobody's got a corner on it. Did you know there's 5 of them Baptist sisters dancing in the aisle at one time during that meeting? It went hard on the local Baptist pastor. I'm not knocking Baptists at all. But I'm telling you, in the Baptist church years ago, they shook and shouted and jumped and danced. The Methodists got what they call the jerks, and they fell on the sawdust aisles. Sure, they've done it. How God was working. Well, it's real. I'm going to talk on one word tonight, just one word a while. I can tell you're tired, you're going to listen good, and that'll be fine. If you break out to shout and drown me out, I love it. I'm going to preach on one word tonight, and that word is keys. I've had trouble with this since I've been here. And it's got funny to me. This key problem I've had. It got so funny till today I couldn't get it off of me. LL give me a big old bunch of keys and nothing to knock the bottom out of your trousers pocket and a big old bunch of keys and told me just to carry them and I'd have them. Well, I decided that I could do different than that. I'd just take the 2 keys off of that and put them in my pocket. Wouldn't have to carry all of them. I first rattled out of the box. I lost the key to the room up there. And I've never lost keys like that. I've not been bad at that. No way have I ever been bad at that. Well, I got a case knife and pulled that trim loose and reached in there and pulled that latch back and got in the room. But I found the key after a while. I said, "Thank God I found that key." I left here last night or night before and unlocked that door out there and lost the key. By the time I unlocked the door till I got to my room, I lost that key. I looked everywhere you can imagine. The same trousers and coat 3 or 4 times. I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find it. I come back today and made a massive hunt. and found it inside the door, bounced over against the water cooler in there. I found the key. So I've got my keys back. But I had a dream in Kansas City, Kansas, when we was in a revival. And no, we weren't. We weren't. We were in a yearly fellowship meeting. And Brother, Bob something. Bob Utter's the one who killed in the airplane crash. He was pastor. And we got in that meeting trying to worship the Lord and rebuke the devil and have a good service. And I dreamed one night of keys all night, and he dreamed of locks all night. Got up the next day and said, I've been dreaming about locks all night. And I said, I've been dreaming about keys all night. Isn't that a strange thing? I had the keys and he had the lock. We just unlocked the locks and had a meeting. Isaiah 22:15. Thus saith the Lord God. I like that. I wish we could hear more from God. Lord God of hosts, he makes the rain and snow, you know. He brings a cool wind. I mean, he makes your crops for you. We need to hear from him. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, get thee unto this treasure, even unto Shibnah, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. I didn't know God could do that. I've heard of ball players that could throw them 100 miles an hour. I'm acquainted with some boys in Oklahoma. You've heard of them. Yeah, you know some of them down there. One of them pitched for the New York Yankees for years and years, Allie Reynolds. He's okay. You've heard of Mickey Mantle, Commerce, Oklahoma. He's an okie. Warren Spahn, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, is an okie. But you know, I didn't know God played ball. Well, I maybe don't play ball, but I didn't know he could throw folks. I didn't know he'd throw people that far. You know, folks had just all settled down sometime, and they got their plans made what they're going to do. And that's what this fella had. And the Lord went talking to it. You got your sepulcher here. You bought your burying place. I mean, you've hewed out one. You got everything fixed. You die, you're going to be buried right over there. But God's going to turn and toss you like a ball. Miles away from here. Seemed like I've met some folks I thought the Lord had throwed. In the 45 years I've preached, I've met a few folks whizzing by. I felt like the Lord throwed them out there. Amen. I felt like he was having something to do with that. Amen. Well, he'll turn his head and violently turn and toss thee like a ball. Right. There he goes. There goes old brother so-and-so. There goes old sister so-and-so. There goes the treasure. Now, whoever the treasure is here, don't get the tuck head on me, but there goes the old ship of the treasure. God throwed him out of there. Yes. Can he do it? Yes, he can make you move. I mean, he can do it. All right. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall it pull thee down. Children, God can do it. Came to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. I want to talk about the key. You can get in if you can find a key to the door. I at home purposely put a light on the outside of the house before I left. We lived there 28 years and got a front porch light, but we never have had a light outside. So I went into my electrical ability and went upstairs, drilled through two plates, and I'm not an electrician. And I finally got the wire down through there and got it outside and went and bought me a fixture and put it on there, and it looked like a flea sat on the elephant's back. So I took it back and got me a bigger one. It didn't look, you know. I got it all fixed up and flipped the light on, and this light come on and that one wouldn't. Well, I finally got it where that didn't come on and this one wouldn't. I finally got where both of them come on, and one of the four lights in the living room just dim on. I said, there's a leak somewhere. It's electric just backing up on me. I never seen nothing like it. It took me 10 hours of rewiring and warning. I never did get it. I finally had to get an electrician. He done it in 3 or 4 minutes. You know why I put that light out there? We drive up at night, B and I, it's getting old. And we search for the keys and look for the keys and get the keys and try to open that door, pouring down rain, it's snowing, you're freezing, your hands are cold, you can't even feel the key in your hand. Wrong key looks just like the right key. I believe tonight, if God will help me, I'll talk about keys a while. Well, that key will work, it looks just like it, it might not. I'm going to give him the key of the house of David. I'll lay it on his shoulder. He'll open it, and none shall shut. He'll shut, and nobody else's key will work in that. God's got the key. Opens lock, lets folks in or out. He knows. I've seen folks thought had the key, but it wouldn't work. Amen. Amen. They need the keys. Key's such a blessing. I've traveled all my life. And I drove in when it's freezing cold. I drove up to church, and the pastor's gone, everybody's gone. I was out in the middle evening, it was freezing. I mean, it was cold. I've always been able kind of to pick the locks or get in a window or something. But a good building that's locked up tight and got good locks on it, you're just spinning your wheels if you don't have the key. I mean, now you can't slide a credit card under the door and get in some of them. You've got to have the key to the lock. I finally found the restroom on the side was open, and it had a little warm stove in there lit. Oh, I went in there and stayed where it was warm. Thank God I enjoyed that heat, you know, in there. The key. Some people have problems. Seem like it just pretty near takes a key to unlock it. We started to leave home a while back, and B don't never do any ornery things, hardly ever, Sister Collins, but... We had an old broke-off key in a drawer in there, and she decided just before we would leave the house, if she'd just see if that worked in our front door, and it worked, or I slid in there, and you couldn't get it out. And we had to tear the whole lock out of the door and tear the lock all to pieces to get that little old broke-off key out of that. Why in the world anybody stick a broke-off key in a lock? Nobody else can get in. They can't get in. You got to have a specialist down there in the middle of the night to drill a thing out or something to get it. I'm going to talk about keys. I'll give him the key, and he'll open. We got to have somebody that's got the key can open this thing for us so we can get in where we can get help. Did you ever get out to the bank? Just embarrassing. It's as embarrassing. Wasn't that old boy down home headed for the ladies' restroom, and his wife sat in the car and said, "Oh, no, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's never going to read the sign. He's never going to look." Just head for the door, and you're going to go through, and just embarrassing. It's 15 minutes before the man's going to unlock the lock. And you just head up there, and what's the matter here? Looking there at him like, "Why don't you come and unlock?" Well, it ain't time yet. No. Somehow tonight I just feel like there's a time. God deals with people, and he speaks to people. It's time he unlocks the door and lets them in. I remember that old cattle driver down in Texas prayed the sinner's prayer. You ever hear the sinner's prayer? I'm going to tell you one of them. There's lots of them. He got down on the altar to pray and couldn't get saved. Had never been saved. Rode the saddle all his life, and bring him old strays in with them worms in his leg. Hollered his wife, "Open the barnyard gate, let me drive this one in." She'd open the gate, and he'd drive it in, have to doctor it, you know, and send it back out. Got down to the altar, praying, and couldn't get nowhere. Finally, ran back and said, "Oh, God, open the gate, let me in." Got saved just a little bit. We need somebody, the key to this thing, can open the door for us. Don't you just hate to stand, knock on the door. My daddy used to be a hard-working oil field, Oklahoma, had an old Model A Ford. Driving down the road one night, run out of gas, and light of a station right up there was on. They just went out about the time he run out and rolled in toward it, and they lay in the back of it. And he got up there and hollered, and nobody answered. Of course, he didn't know Roy Moore. He got up and beat on the side of the house. "Get up, I know you're in there. You just well come out. I'm in trouble, I'm out of gas." Went down the side of the house, beating on it. "You just well get out, come out. I got that old boy finally unlocked and come out." He wasn't fixing to rob him. He's going to pay him for what he got. Sometimes you just have to make a little racket to get the door unlocked. I mean, you've got to call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. To be heard. Great God, pray, have mercy. You can hear him clear the creek bottom. I've been where they prayed, children. I have. You have too. I know you have. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a prayer God will hear after a while. Hallelujah. You get the victory. May not get the answer you want, but God will come to you and help you. That old boy friend of mine down in Oklahoma said he had a friend went in the woods to pray to God about sanctification, whether it was a second definite work or not. Said he prayed and sought God till the power of God come on him, shouted himself come out of the woods, and God never did tell him what it was. He just got blessed, that's all. You having key trouble, gate trouble, can't get the gate open? Can't seem like God ain't answering. You knock, but it won't work. You can't get. I'm going to talk to you about the key tonight. I believe there's a way we can get somebody to unlock this for us. The house of David will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open, none shall shut. He shall shut, none shall open. That's strange. When I was pastoring that church years ago as a young man, I called a fast in it. And the Lord was dealing with me. I lay down on the couch one day and I saw myself in a vision in the pulpit. And my friends were walking around me, patting me on the back and going down the aisle and out the door. And a voice behind me and above me said something to me that I never told anybody what it said. But it made me know it was through in my church. I just got up and resigned. And they cried and I left. I was gone 7 years that time before I took another one. But you know what? He said to me, I'll set before an open door. Folk can get behind it and push on as hard as they want to. They can't shut it. What you folks know, I speak as a fool, but if I'd make out, is it an itinerary? I'm trying to pick up some of the bigger words. Itinerary. Mine's hanging on the bathroom door at home. It's a calendar. And I have to call home sometime and ask me, what have I got rule on that calendar there? For the fellas want me to come. What have I got? I'll come up a little on it. Get me some books, you know, and things. Wouldn't be no harm. But I could fix one that would be 10 years in advance tonight. I speak as a fool. 10 years in advance. That's right. Oh, I'm not making you think I'm anybody special. But I'm just saying why I said it is the Lord said, I set before you an open door which no man can shut. Do you know people have asked me to hold revivals that didn't mean to? They wasn't aiming to do that, but they did. Amen. They done said they didn't like me, but when you tried to pronounce it, said, I love you. I'm going to open it up for you. Yeah. Listen, children, there's a man asked me tonight to pray about a boy getting a job. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God can do that. I've seen him do that a lot of times. He's got the key to that situation. Right. Right. Amen. You ain't careful, you don't have enough to believe God for a breath to breathe. Well, listen here. Well, if I had to train him, look here, I'm going to tell you one thing's happened. I know what's happened. I know a boy that God opened a job up for. And other men standing behind them had a lot more training than they did. And they was a lot better qualified for that job than they was. And for no reason at all, passed over them and hard, that fella. Because he was asking God to help him. Listen, God is God. Don't you mix God up with the rest of them. He ain't nothing like, I'm going to give him the key. I'm going to lay the key on him. He'll have the key to it. I'm going to give him the key to the house of David. We're going to preach a while tonight if we can think of a few things. On the keys. Here comes the man with the keys. It makes me feel better. He's going to let us in. It just makes you feel bad. I went to the penitentiary down in McAllister, Oklahoma. I never seen a lock of doors. They locked them behind me. Like they didn't trust me even. Go through this and they lock you. Go through that and lock that. I went and visited them boys a while and talked to them about the Lord. I was so thankful they had fellas could open them doors for me when I come back out of there. God's got the key to it. He's got the key to it. Somebody said he locked the lion's mouth. Well, he didn't use the key to it, but he can lock things up and he can unlock them. Here? In Matthew 16 and 15, the Bible said, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The old apostle Peter, the old fisherman. Hallelujah. He knew who he was. Amen. He knew who he was. Jesus answered, said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know what the devil said. Church going down. No, it ain't. It's going up. And I read in the Bible about the kingdom of God. It grows and we know not how. Whether you think it is or not, it's growing. Faith's like a grain of mustard seed. Starts out just a little seed of all seeds and grows up into a tree. It's growing. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Lord ain't doing nothing. I beg your pardon. He is. If I said church ain't been blessed, I beg your pardon, it is. Amen. If I said church losing ground, no sir, it's gaining ground. Amen. Now listen, I was calling your attitude, what spiritual altitude you live in. Can you all hear me? Keys. I'll build my church on it. You know, God's a builder. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. What do you reckon all the mountain ranges to weigh if we could weigh them? He knows. He knows how many gallons of water there is in the Atlantic, Pacific, and everywhere else. Huh? Knows everybody by name. Matthew 10:30 said he had the very hairs of your head numbered. I thinned out some back here. Be telling me if I'd comb her hair better, they wouldn't see that bald spot. I can't remember which way she said, and invariably I comb it the wrong way and it shows it up more. I can't see the back of my head. But if you'd tie a little white rag on every hair I've got, wouldn't I have a head full of white rags? You couldn't tie one on every hair I've got. Bible said the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He don't have a computer. He has an imputer. He never fool with them silly computers. He knows more. He's got everybody's number, everybody's name, and the very hairs of our head is all numbered. Behold your thought afar off. There's your prayer before you pray it. You talk about action. Access to the authorities. Get the job done. We got a way to do it. You know it? Well, I'm talking about the keys tonight. You ever lock yourself out of your car? I went hold a meeting while no, to a funeral in Arkansas. And I got way down in Arkansas and said, homemade pies, which I do not need, but I do dearly love. And said, home, and you take coconuts, don't y'all go back for it. Now listen, I'm not a hint for no coconut pie. But I tell you what, and they said homemade pies, and I was hungry, as I've always been hungry. We got one Oklahoma boy, 38 years old, said before he got full. He was raised poor, but he said 38 years old before he ever got full. I don't know why so or not, but I know he's all for it. But you know what? I went in there and come back, and you know, I just said, let's see. You're so happy till you find you do not have the key. Uh-oh. Isn't it a sight how key? It's mentioned in the Bible. I was reading and preaching it. Keys are mentioned in there. You're so happy. Wife, you got your keys. No, I left mine home. I thought you brought yours. All of a sudden, we're into it. There I was looking in the car, and the keys are in there. Safe place. Right in there. But long as I was supposed to be at that funeral. I said, Lord, this car don't have no wing glass on it. How am I going to get in this car? The Lord is so good to us till he'll offer us help when it looks like the thing's locked up. No way this will ever change. God changes. I turned around and looked over there toward the station. An old boy walked out of it. I don't sound too spiritual here now, but I pray it. Seems like Spirit touched me. That man will help you. I walked up to him. I said, do you know anything about getting in a car? It's the keys locked in. Just walk. It wasn't 5 minutes. He had that door. It must have been a car thief. I don't know what in the world it was. I never seen a man get in a car as quick. I couldn't hardly believe it. He was in that car and had me. I tried to pay him. I told him where I was going and said, you don't owe me nothing. Goodbye. I don't know what in the world it was. But he opened that car and I was on the road again. I tell you what, it's a blessing. Locks are a blessing if you have the keys to it. Locks are a blessing if you have the keys to them. I've heard folks just talk like their spiritual life was locked up. I mean, it seemed like they couldn't get out. They was like the Apostle Peter in prison. Seemed like they were just there and there wasn't nothing they could do. But you take God come in there. You remember that angel coming in there and the Apostle Peter, they had him chained up like the worst outlaw in the country. And the locks just fell off. Chain just fell open. Locks just come loose. Come out the gate. Lock had just one haywire on it, and God just told him, all right, I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you the keys. Who's got the keys? Have you ever been to service for somebody? Somebody got the key to that. I told you, Kansas City, I had the keys, and he had the lock. I tell you what, we had a time there. You ever been in the service where somebody said, I believe somebody got the key to the service.
I sure have.
And sure enough, old grandma so-and-so that hardly ever sings. You know, I was in a meeting as dry as this, and it was. I've heard better preaching than this. But you know, I was in a meeting one night, it come a 5-inch snow, come an 8-inch snow, and we had a building full of people, and I wasn't saying anything worth even keeping your eyes open for hardly. Post preaching, I never heard us doing it myself. And you know what? An old man rose up back over there and uninvited, unannounced. What I mean, he couldn't even play an instrument. He never even pitched his voice with a chord. And he stood up. He said, King Jesus was walking through the land. On his way he got weary with his disciples, the gospel band. They stopped at the well of Samaria. I sung it to you the other night. No man loves me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. No man loves me like Jesus. You know, he went to unlocking that thing. Seemed like the Lord used him to unlock that. On the well, the Lord sat down. His disciples went. They left him. A woman from Samaria town. A drink he did request of her. And the longer he sung it, the higher we went. We was afraid to play any music. Didn't seem like there wasn't no music fit his song. We was afraid to say anything hardly. You could just feel that spirit moving out. You ever pray for anybody? Seem like heaven's locked up on you. Heaven's brass on you. Couldn't get nowhere, but after a while, just a little break. Boy, that is over. We had a camp meeting. I've been right there where it happened. Seemed like tonight, if we just had a good key, and we could just open this service a little, there might be somebody get something they didn't dream they'd get here tonight. I remember an old author come to church that night sick over there in Oklahoma, buried him 3 years ago. He come to church that night sick, a meeting just about like this, what I mean, just not a shouting high meeting and not a going forever meeting, but just one of them mediocre meetings. You know, God healed him that night. God healed him that night.
Yes, sir.
I come to church one night sick. I go sick if I ain't down. I went to church sick, and here come another brother in my church sick, a preacher brother. I had a vision. I started up on the platform, and I seen him standing there and me standing there, and I seen my hand on his head and his hand on my head. And I seen God heal both of us when that happened. So I said, come here, brother. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help, and we're going to seek God to bless. And you know what that fella? He put his hand on my head. I put my hand on his head, and the power of God fell and healed both of us. Okay. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God wants to turn you loose. Yes, he does. Amen. God wants to bless. And somebody, a lot of times, has the key. Amen. I know we over home, we'll have some folks to sing, but once in a while, God blesses us and helps us, but once in a while, there'll be somebody that we didn't think could sing or could sing, but they would sing. And the first thing you know, they ask, I have a song. Do you care if I sing it? Do we care? I mean, by the time they got through, we were so glad to have them sing.
That's right.
They seemed to have a key to it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They seemed to have the key to it. Here in Revelation 1 and 18, you read it? I'm he that liveth and was dead. Thank God that there. We're going to say that after a while. We're going to be able to say that after a while. I'm he that liveth and was dead.
Right.
We're going to be able to say that after a while. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Put amen in there after that, you see. And have the keys of hell and of death. John had just saw him. And when he turned to look at him, he said it was the Son of Man. And he had seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. In his countenance was the sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, laid his right hand upon me. He's alive. Got the right hand, lift you right up. Already been crucified, already been buried, already come back out of it. Now he's got his hand, he's working with him. He's got his figure now. And here John sees him, and he fell at his feet as dead. And he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Have the keys of hell and of death. Don't have to go to hell. Death's not going to claim you forever. I mean, he's got the keys to the problem. Amen. Got the keys to the problem. We got folks down home. They said they'd die. They didn't. God healed them. They said they can't last the morning. They did. God healed them. Amen. I've got the keys of hell and of death.
Right.
Meet the man with keys. Somebody gets you out of your problem. Gets you out of the problem. Write the things which thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Talking about the keys tonight. Talking about the keys. He's got the key to your problem. Amen. He's got the answer to it. He can open your door. He can open. Nobody can shut it. Take a child that wants to shut it.
I know some folks that have been trying to shut the door for years. He's out of it, but he ain't. He's gone, he ain't. Brother Rackley come to California, Oklahoma, got there. A fellow said, I'm sorry that Sister Rackley, and you have had the trouble you've had, Brother Rackley. I hear you broke up. He said, that's strange. I just left her just a few hours ago and got here and said she, when I left, she said, I can't wait to get back. Said, I love you with all my heart. Said, it's happened since I left, if it's so. Yeah. Devil's tried to shut the door for years. Well, God opens that door, unlocks that, and shoves it back. There ain't nobody can shut it on you. Amen. Nobody can do it. And ain't nobody can unlock it but him, but he's able. Amen. We got an old boy, grabs his wife up, runs around inside church with his wife, little old woman, little old skinny woman. Ain't nothing wrong with being skinny. But I say she's a skinny woman. And he grabs up and runs with her. You know why he runs with her? I'd have run him off if I'd have been her. I don't believe I could ever went through what she did. While he come in slobbery drunk, 2 or 3 in the morning, been chasing old coon hounds, him and his old buddy, just drunk. Have her build a farm in the wood stove a few years ago now. And cook a meal for him way in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning. She'd get there and pray for him while them old slobbery drunks eat what she cooked. Years and years that went on. She just kept holding on. So one night, he got saved. You heard Ralph Cox say that. Old woman says, that my boy'd run him off. He said, yeah, if he's yours, I would too, but he ain't his mine. That's what Ralph said. God's got the keys. Let you there in there where the goodies is. Hallelujah. 3rd chapter of Revelation, 7th verse. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth no man shutteth no man openeth. We mentioned that to you a while ago. We read that to you from the Old Testament. A day coming when the Emmanuel will be here. Amen. The everlasting God, the Prince of Peace, he'd be here. Right. He's going to have a key with him. And open this thing up. Amen. You know, behind locked doors is where people's valuables are. That's where it's at. They got it hid. They got it locked. I better not tell that, but I won't tell you who they are. But there's some people I know that paid for a good-sized safe the other day because they don't know whether the FDIC's busted or not. I went in the bank a while back, and it had went down. Lord, give me a little hint on that before it went down. So I ain't never had no money. I had a checking account. I moved it to another one because I knew that was going down. And, you know, it went down, and I went in a few days, and a fine-looking man sitting there. I said, well, it's all changed hands now. They did. They sold it to another. And I said, well, what shape's the bank in? Said, the best in Oklahoma. Said, see that pile of paper right there about that thick? Said, that's bad paper, bad loans. It's a mystery to me how the wisest men we have got in America could make so many billions of dollars worth of bad loans. It also makes me feel bad for us poor people to have to pay for the thieves and crooks and mistakes and all this loan business, these loan companies and these big institutions, when we didn't have no money in them anyhow. Why should our tax money have to pay for all those? I just don't agree with that. But I'm not trying to be flexible. I just don't agree with that. But you know what? I looked at him and he said, mister, I'm not part of the bank. I'm with the government. And he said, I'm with the FDIC. And he said, I'm telling you, it's good shape. I said, you're about as old time, aren't you? He said, yeah. I said, you know what you tell me just runs in one ear and out the other, don't you? He looked at me like, what's the matter with you? I said, you know, we've lost 30-some in Oklahoma, and if we keep losing them like this across Texas and keep on across the United States, that we ain't going to have no money in any type of insurance program to pay off anything. He said, it's sad but true. Sad but true. So, this family bought this safe, and it's got a lid that thickness real heavy, and they bury it in cement, you know, and then they put the valuables in there and lock it, and it's safe. They wanted to give me the combination to it. You've got to have somebody that knows how to open it because they trusted me. I said, yes and no. Yes, I think you know. I don't want to know it. Not me. Get you some other friend. Not me. I don't want to know that. But, folks, it's a big bank. Vault door that thick. You ever see one of them? I'm talking about that thick, foot thick. They lock the stuff behind there. You got to be somebody else if they'll let you learn the combination so you can get in there. God's got great and good things. And he has a key. Let us enter to it. Amen. Right in here is treasures untold. Right in here is treasures untold. He that hath saith he that is true, he that hath the key of David, that openeth and no man shutteth. Shutteth and no man openeth. Just on the keys tonight. You got a problem? Need some help on it? You want to get God to move on it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Had an old bushy faced boy. Since preaching is so dull, I think I'll just preach a little dull preaching tonight. I'll hear it better. But we had an old boy, so lost, it's pathetic. He hid from the law. I mean, he cooked off the batches of dope. He never got on it that bad. He was just an old boy that lived and run from the law. I knew him well. They tried to kill him one night. They paid him off and then tried to rob the payoff from him. Like they got him. Called me in the morning about 5:30. Want me to meet with him and a couple of more. They'd been on a high party. And I talked to him a long while. And he'd run and he took this green beret. Is that what they call him? A green beret. And he could live like a snake in the woods. You drop him in the woods behind enemy lines, he just disappeared into the brush. He knowed how to kill you so easy, it's pathetic. He told me how they taught him what to do. Why, he take that little nitroglycerin pill you put under your tongue. He could take a couple of them and ram them in a lock and just take his little pistol and blast that lock and just explode. They learned him all about explosives and things he could use. And he could live on green leaves and roots. And he knew he wore orange glasses at night. They had a pair of them with him. And he could see in the dark like a coon. He got out of the service and got in that dope and got to hiding from the law and got away with it for a long time. But his mother's a praying woman. Seek God in thy little church. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and years went by. One day he come out of hiding, living in a cave down yonder on the river, eating them fish, peddling that dope and hiding. They couldn't find out what's happening. Walked out of the woods one day, come to David's church, prayed through and got saved. He had such a record behind him. He was a wizard of a boy as far as a smart boy. He couldn't get a job. He walked blisters on his feet trying to sell borough policies. He couldn't get no job. But you know I'm talking about the ones carrying the keys tonight. He got praying good, and one night in the night, God showed him he's going to give him a good job. I didn't think about you and I'm telling this, but I'm telling you what I have. Old Ray went to Sears years before he had worked for him. Just walked off into that dope world and never told him this quit. Went back to Sears. They said, we never hire anybody that's got a record like you had. Just walk off and leave us, not give us any notice or anything. We don't hire them back. They said, I need a job. Well, we don't hire them back. He said, I still need a job. I'll make you a good hand. I dare you to give me the test. I give that boy the test. They made a score you couldn't, he made a score you couldn't hardly believe. I mean, they put the pressure on him, proved him they wasn't going to harm because he couldn't qualify no how. He went over flying colors on everything they done. He said, we're going to make a job for you. We got to open him. He is over several men in the service department over there right now. The thing went from the bottom to the top, the best service department in the United States in the Sears chain. Tell me God ain't got the key to it. I mean, old Ray knows it. He had that date wrote down that God's going to give it to him before he ever got it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I mean, lately. That ain't 40 years ago now. And what happened then is great. Ninth chapter of Revelation, first verse, fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Hallelujah. I'm glad we ain't got that. We'd have sold half a church in there sometime when God didn't mean for him to go in there and so on. Wouldn't you have done it? You had that mad fit, you'd have thrown your balls in there, wouldn't you? Hey, man, God help us. I'm glad we don't have the keys to some things. Angel come from heaven, had a key to the bottomless pit. Opened it up, and out of it come smoke, as smoke of a great furnace, the sun, the air was darkened, but reading the smoke, come out of it small, a smoke locust upon the earth, and given power to strike men with them. It wound up men. When that fellow would strike you while you seek death and desire to die and couldn't die, terrible what come out of there. Angel had the key to it. Angel rocked me to sleep. I love angels. In the cradle of love, bear me over the deep to heaven above. When the shadow shall fall and the Savior shall call, angel rocked me to sleep in the cradle of love. I love angels. Here come a great angel from heaven. Somebody say they got wings. I don't know. They can fly with or without them. It wouldn't make no difference. Come down, unlock the bottomless pit. Well, we're going to this tea here. It's primarily the same thing. I'm going to ask you a personal question. Have you got a problem that ain't nobody been able to do nothing with? Why don't you give the Lord a chance at it? I'm not going to lay hands on everybody here. I mean, I don't run around looking for folks to lay hands on and pray for. But you know, sometimes I really think folks need their hands laid on them when they ain't got a thing in the world that's divine healing. You know, you read in the Bible where angel flew at time of evening oblation, touched me.
That's right.
Just touched me. Sometimes we just need a touch, you know.
Amen.
Somebody to touch us.
Right.
Touch us. I know I raised about poor people in Oklahoma, just old houses, no locks on them, hardly nothing. I'm telling you what all my daddy had to do at night or mother, just touch me. I don't worry about nothing. Just a touch from a father's hand. I wasn't afraid of nothing when daddy's around. I always pitied any man break in our house. My daddy's home. I said, Daddy will kill him. I said, it'll be pitiful. It'll be pitiful. Daddy will tear him up. Oh, he would have. But, oh, just a touch. Listen, you may have a problem in here tonight you don't think nobody can do nothing with. I'm going to tell you one thing. God can. He can solve that problem. Amen? You know, I was holding a meeting in Missouri that you have headaches. You've been having them old headaches. Ain't them things terrible? I was holding a meeting in Missouri here a while back, and a girl had a headache. Months and months and months and... Yeah, I'll tell you the family's name. Months and... Married. Children. Had children. Headache for months. Every day. She took something for the headache every day. Right there at Wallace Church in Missouri. Had the headache. I was right there to meet. Had the headache ever. And I was pointing at that boy because he used to live down in there. So you're not pointing at him. He ain't got the headache. That ain't his problem. But you know what? One night, been prayed for. No, I'm nobody come. I'm just telling you, God's got the answer. He's got the key to that. We'll just keep knocking. He'll unlock that door for us. We'll keep calling. He'll unlock that ball for us and get us some riches out of there. Open that door. Nobody shut on you no more. Get that lock open. You know what? She come up to be prayed for in that little church with a handful of people. Prayed a simple prayer for her. Next night I said, did you have the headache today? She said, no. And it never took nothing. 3 months later I saw her. You have the headache? No. Just left like that. Just like look, praying for that woman here the other night. Praying for her just... I could just see like a bird. Did you know that hawk is sitting on this post down here? I went uptown today. He dodged off top that. You know why he's sitting there? He's getting his dinner, breakfast, and supper out of that center median. He went off there and got that mouse and flew right back in front of that van like to hit him. Heading off out there to eat his dinner.
Yeah.
Prayed for a woman and right here and stand here praying on that. And when I prayed for her, I just almost want to turn and watch it fly away. I couldn't understand. Just like a bird. Left. I said, that's strange to me. Light as a feather and free as a bird. Loose. Set free. Set free. He got the key to it. I saw an angel come down to heaven, having the key in the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. Just read 19th chapter, the 9th chapter, in the first verse where an angel come down with the key to the bottomless pit, opened it, and let a bunch of stuff out of it. Now we've come to the 20th chapter. Here comes another angel. He got the key to the bottom of the pit. He opens it up and throws the devil in there, thank God. All right, I'm gonna have to slow down. It's not interesting enough for you, and I want to help you. But look, are you here? Are you here tonight? And you need help. You need that door open. You pounded on that till you wore out. It don't look like there's a hope in the world. Why don't you try it one more time? Why don't you try it one more time? You read about that importunity, did you? I thought it meant importance the first time I preached it in California when I was 21. And I preached it as importance. I said, anybody can tell, look at that word importunity, it means importance. I never bothered to search it out and see. I just know it looked like that. Preached the whole message on it because of her importance. That's the reason that judge opened the door to it and kind of found out. Preached an untruth. Wasn't even true. God hadn't blessed me in the back said over it. God, somebody said, God never blessed nobody to do the wrong thing. Oh, yeah, he does a lot of times. I didn't say when to do sinful things.
No.
I didn't say when to purposely steal, lie, purposely do something evil. But God bless us a lot of time on what we say and what just the way it was. And we got that all crossways and thought we ought to write a book on biblical doctrine and tell the whole world just what we said is the way it is. That ain't even really blessed us. He just blessed us because he loves us. And he knows we'd find out someday how wrong we was to keep us from backsliding. Or does that sound right?
Right.
I preached the whole message on it, buddy. I'm talking about the whole thing and said how important it was. It wasn't important at all. To that judge, and nothing important about it, L.L. It was only her persistence, her continual knocking.
Seemed like it's impossible to get this situation straightened out. It might be with humans, but not with God. Here come a big old angel, and that devil that give everybody every kind of trouble he could give anybody anywhere. Open that, took that key, and open that bottomless pit, and throw that thing in there. Never made a sound for 1,000 years. Thank God. Wouldn't you like to get him quieting down? I went in a place to eat a while back, and I've always wondered why you had to have slap me down daddy music to eat by. Down in Oklahoma, I worked in an oil field 10, 15 hours a day, jugging them real fast. We got ready to go eat. There wasn't nobody said, where's they got the pretty music? Where have they got the honky-tonk music? What, we want to go down to Red's Cafe over to Slim's Cafe or somebody's where they had some good old stuff that'd stay with you. Eat it and you could work on it.
That's right.
Nowadays, you go to eat. I don't know how the devil is. He just got his program running wide open everywhere. And there you sit down to eat. Yeah, she done go on and left me. Well, I care about where she left or not. I didn't even know she was there to start with. I asked the manager, I said, what's the purpose of all that stuff you're pumping down on the people in here? Just shocked him. Said, nobody ever asked me nothing like that. Well, I said, I am. I won't know. It's food, I'll guarantee you. I challenge you. Stop the music. Keep up the good food. It won't change your business. It won't change your income. They're coming in here because you got good stuff to eat, not because you want to hear beats. Silly old suggestive bread room music. I ain't asked you to go listen to it, but you hone in a little so you go sometime, you hear what they're singing. You see what the devil's trying to put over. Amen. You take a man that got the blues, and his wife's just about to leave him, and maybe nearly lost his job or has lost it, and get in there and trouble in mind on blue. Well, Lord have mercy, they're blue. They'll be bluer than that when they get through with them, singing that old junk. Don't y'all get mad, but we need key. We need key to open this thing up so God can help us. I believe the church world has got the blues in lots of places. They need something to open that up and turn something good loose in there. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is able to work on that problem. He's able to unlock you. Amen? We prayed for one old boy. Wore out four pastors that I can name praying for the Holy Ghost. I mean, wore four that pastored the church. I was one of them. I can name every one of them to you. Years of it. He'd get down there at that altar and out pray everybody in the whole church and tell God all about the Holy Ghost and why he needed it and what it was and how he believed it. I want him, shut up, shut up, shut up, and give up. I love him, though. We just kept trying to get that open. We just kept working on that. Never got that open. Four pastors. I'd all resigned and gone. The other three resigned and gone. Still didn't have it. Went to Fort Worth, Texas. And I was to preach down there that night. And I preached on, I remember what it was. Seldom do, but I remember what I preached on. God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Sometimes all we can hear from God is have a storm. Sometimes all we can hear from God is have a whirlwind. Right in the middle of your trouble, God come to you. God spoke to Job. I went preaching on that, and that old boy had arms. He's got the longest arms you've nearly ever seen. They just hang way down below his knee, look like. That longest arms I've ever seen. And when he throws one arm up, you know he's there. He's pretty tall anyway. That makes him 9 feet tall, and he gets that arm up. I've never seen. But I look back there, and there's old, I don't know, call his name, might embarrass him. There went his arm. He put that one down, and he gave the other one around at it. Pretty soon looked like a windmill running back there. Well, I said, I hope he gets in. I'd pushed on him and pulled on him so long till I just about pulled and pushed out. I just said, God, you'll have to do this. You're going to have to unlock this one. We beat on it. Oh, boy, come to my house. Wallace going, took a hammer and beat on the lock and opened it. Don't come out here beating on my lock. He's my friend. Beat on my lock.
Some locks you can hit just right and they'll open, but the same thing you hit, you give out, and it won't open. God don't help you into it. You know what? I seen him come out in the aisle. I seen him go down on the floor. Come up off the floor. Back down on the floor. Back up. By the time he got to the altar, everybody's leaving him alone. More dangerous than a lineman in a football game. He wasn't as big as a refrigerator, but I'm telling you what, he is dangerous. No, I'm not a big football fan, but I read about the fridge. He wasn't as big as a refrigerator. But I'm telling you, he is dangerous. His arms is all out of socket. Both of them are going down on the floor and back up again. God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and fire till the whole bunch noted. Couldn't nobody have church but him. We're out four pastors. You got the Holy Ghost. We're out four pastors. Our throats got sore. Our bodies are starved. Time and time again, old muscle man wore us out. But God got him. You like to have the Holy Ghost? I'm after you tonight. I don't know. See, you know why I just feel like I do? I just kind of feel like the lock's locked. We need to open it up here. Hallelujah. Let the man through the crowd. Who is he? He got the key to the door. Come right through here. Come right on. Step back, boys. Get back on there. Come on. We're glad to let him in, aren't we? Got the key to the door. I went to the bank the other day. An old boy stood on the inside of the glass on the thing. Grinned at me on the outside. Half minute, time to unlock the door. Didn't have a thing to do but open the door, but he wouldn't do it till time. Sometimes he's like the Lord kind of lets us just wait a while. It's there, and he's going to help us. We just got to have a little patience. Wait to open that door. Well, us stand together. I'm going to sing a song. And I want you that have that problem, whatever it is, I want you to come down here. I didn't figure this all out. It's just happening now. But you that's got that problem, yeah. I want you to come down here. Let Junior and these elders, these good friends, gather around you. Yeah. Put them hands in our, and let's see if the Lord won't unlock that thing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You can be bound. Somebody has to turn you loose.
Right.
You can be locked up. God has to get you out of it. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna pray for you tonight. Won't you come down here, stand around this altar? You want to lay a hand on you? May not be sick. Maybe you just got some kind of problem you're all tied up with. Seem like you're bound, you can't get out of it. Been waiting a long while, can't get a blessing. Let's see what we can do.